from the capital city of Charleston, West Virginia, this is Inside West Virginia Politics with Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside West Virginia Politics. I'm your co-host, Mark Curtis. My co-host, Amanda Barron, is on assignment this week. We're talking politics again, and here to join us is Tom Sussman, political analyst with TSG Consulting here in Charleston. We had five primaries this week.
Right.
We have seven more next week. I mean, we're really getting into the meat of the political season here. Let's talk about the two states that border West Virginia that had big primaries, Kentucky and Pennsylvania. Let's first go to Kentucky, where former President Trump endorsed all five incumbent Republican House members in all five won.
Right.
Is that, with these guys like Hal Rogers, who's the Dean of the House, he would have won anyway,
he would have
right?
won anyway. The fellow from up near Cincinnati, Andy Barr, those folks won those seats. I mean, it's helpful, but those are kind of like endorsements of opportunities, so you can say on your score sheet, hey, I won this one. Not a lot of like heavy lifting there, and no big surprises these guys won.
The oddity was Tom Massey, who represents some counties in our viewing area too, and he drew the ire of Trump a couple of years ago when he voted against, I think it was one of the COVID funding bills, and Trump said he should be kicked out of the Republican Party and he should be booted from Congress. Trump winds up endorsing Massey, and Massey won.
Yeah, a lot for Trump is kind of like, what did you do for me yesterday, today, not what did you do for me a couple years ago. So, I mean, let's look, Dr. Oz, J.D. Vance, they were not big Trump supporters when he was president,
right?
But they somehow redeemed themselves in the eye of the Trumpster, and so now they're his guy.
Yeah, and this is a game of math here, because the Republicans are trying to seize control of both chambers, the House and the Senate, currently both controlled by the Democrats. You have a toss-up race in the Louisville district in Kentucky. In fact, the two Republicans, one is at 29.5%, the other at 29.4%. That's probably going to a recount. But Republicans, when they do the math and try to pick up those 10 seats to control the House, they look at that sixth seat there in Kentucky as maybe they can pick
possible.
It up.
We'll see what they do. They redistricted. You have the Republicans in charge of the redistricting. I don't know. That one's going to be.
Yeah, Trump didn't pick. I don't think he endorsed anyone in that race, but we'll see come fall. The other neighboring state, you already touched on it, Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz, the famous TV surgeon.
Yeah.
He got Trump's endorsement, and that one's going down to they're probably going to have an automatic recount. He leads by about 1,000 votes. But can Trump claim that one, saying, well, I probably picked up 1,000 votes for him? It's tough to say.
I think he can say he had impact on that race. But the one in Pennsylvania where he can clearly say he did it was the governor. Doug Mastriani was kind of even in the polls, big undecided. Trump blows in on May 14th and says, you're my candidate. Mastroni was at the rally January 6th at the Capitol. He was far right and never believed Trump lost the election. And now he's the choice for the Republican Party for governor, which for Pennsylvania, which is a purple state, gives Attorney General Shapiro a leg up.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because I think that's important to point out. In our region, West Virginia,
solid red state, already
had a primary. Kentucky, solid red state. But then you got Ohio and Pennsylvania, both battleground, both purple states.
Right. Probably in Ohio is probably less of a battleground than Pennsylvania, but clearly Pennsylvania with Pittsburgh and the Philadelphia suburbs, that's a moderate to Democrat-leaning areas. And I think in those situations, Mastriani is a anchor for the Republican Party.
Another purple state we want to talk about had its primary this week, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, this Congressman Madison Cawthorn, 26 years old, youngest member of the House, he was endorsed by Trump. He got voted out, but he had a lot of his own baggage.
He's a train wreck. I mean, you just look at the pictures, look at the stuff he said. I'm shocked they even endorsed him.
Yeah, and then, of course, Ted Budd, who's a sitting congressman in North Carolina, was Trump's pick to run for the Senate seat, replacing Richard Burr, and Trump's pick won in the Senate race.
And that's a clear indication. There was always rumor that his daughter-in-law might run for that seat. Never really materialized. But he's going to face Sherry Beasley, who is the Supreme Court Justice, and she's down about 8 points right now in her current poll. But again, there's a lot of time coming.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We want to talk about the big picture impact of a lot of these races.
This is Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is fun stuff. We'll be back with another segment on politics, Inside West Virginia Politics with Tom Sussman. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back to Inside West Virginia Politics. As Tom mentioned, we're in Super Bowl season here. Five primaries this past week, seven primaries this coming Tuesday. I want to talk about one more, especially on Tuesday, because it's another state that has really turned from red to purple, and that's the state of Georgia. Used to be a reliably Republican state. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris carried the state. Then they won the two Senate runoffs for the Democrat. That gave control to the state Senate. Stacey Abrams is coming back running for governor. She's got a shot. She almost made it last time. I mean, it's fascinating what has happened in Georgia. Let me frame this. Yeah. It is Trump versus Pence in the governor's race. This is going to be the story on Tuesday night, the big one. Trump does not like Brian Kemp, the sitting governor. Right. He blames his loss of the White House because there was, he thinks, malfeasance with the vote in Georgia. We've seen there's been no evidence of that put out in court or anywhere else. So Trump is backing former U.S. Senator David Perdue. Mike Pence, the former vice president, is still backing Governor Brian Kemp. This is going to be something else. Expensive, too.
Yeah, it is expensive. Yeah, Trump wanted to blame everybody for his loss. Perdue, on the other hand, believes that Trump won the election down in Georgia, so therefore he picks him. You know, Perdue's is frustrated because he lost the Senate run, I think in large part to Trump not getting out of the way. And so, yeah, this is going to be an interesting race. Last I saw, and it's been a while, but it looked like Kemp was up in that race.
Yeah. Let's move to the big picture. We're talking about a lot of individual states, some of which are nowhere near us, but collectively they all have an impact. And the first thing I want to talk about was on Wednesday of this week, Senator Shelley Moore Capito joined with about 10 other U.S. senators to call a news conference and really, really criticize President Biden for his leadership on gas prices and energy policy. And you looked at the group of senators. What states were they from? Texas, Louisiana, Alaska, West Virginia, North Dakota, all big energy producing states. How big of an issue is that going to be in all of the races we're talking about nationwide, especially as people are going to the polls or driving past the gas station and seeing those prices?
Osho Craig, who I worked with for a number of years, used to talk about little White House issues. People who live in the little white houses, what's an issue for them? Gasoline prices is an issue for them. You know, $4 or $5 a gallon is a lot of money for a gallon of gas. The baby formula issue, same kind of situation. Those are issues that middle America is really concerned with, and the Republicans are doing a much better job of connecting with the public on those issues, and the Democrats are ceding control of those issues, and it will come back to haunt the Democrats in November if they don't figure out some kind of messaging.
Now let's talk about another issue that may, in fact, embolden some Democrats. Right. You know, it's always the economy, gas prices, inflation, grocery prices, all of the economic issues at the top. In the last couple of election cycles, the abortion issue has really been down in the weeds. It hasn't been at the forefront. But now with the anticipated Roe versus Wade decision, the leak of a draft, apparently a draft decision, doesn't that become a top-tier issue in all U.S. Senate races now because U.S. senators are the only ones that can confirm Supreme Court justices?
I think that becomes on all the elections, legislative elections, congressional elections, Senate elections, judicial elections, because before the debate on abortion was kind of academic. As long as you had Roe v. Wade, they cut around the edges. Now you do away with Roe v. Wade. Guess what? That is an issue that the West Virginia legislature has to deal with. That's an issue the West Virginia Supreme Court has to deal with, the Congress, the Senate, because how do you define what is permissible and what is not permissible in each of these states? And I think you activate a base that heretofore really hadn't been involved in the process for a number of years.
Yeah, and I asked Governor Justice last week in a briefing, are you going to call the legislature to special session? I asked Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, how are you going to handle this? And both of them, you know, almost the same answer said, no, let's wait till the final decision on this comes down in late June, and then we'll decide what to do. We're down to a minute. What are you guessing? Looking in your crystal ball, control of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. The Senate, we're not going to have the coin land on its edge 50-50. I doubt that'll happen again. Joe Manchin loses a lot of his juice if it goes Republican. But what's your prediction?
I think the Dems stand a really good chance of losing the House. I mean, I just think that the leadership of Nancy Pelosi and connecting has just not been there. And I think a lot of that's AOC's fault and the far left. They are really doing a number on the Democratic Party. The Senate, I don't know. You know, that comes down to local issues, how well people get the vote out. And again, in the Senate, if it's in this 51-48 or 52-48, however it goes, if it's within three or four votes, then people like Joe Manchin and Shelley Moore Capito, they'll be kingmakers.
Yeah. Which fun is to watch.
Fun. Yeah, absolutely.
We love this stuff. We want to thank Tom Sussman, our political analyst from TSG Consulting. We'll obviously have you back before November.
I would love that, yeah.
We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Welcome back to Inside West Virginia Politics. We're going to switch gears here for a moment from politics to business. I want to introduce Nora Myers. She's the executive director of West Virginia, it's usually WV, but West Virginia Women's Business Center.
That's correct.
I got it right?
Yes.
WV Women's Business Center, as you guys told it.
Yeah.
Exciting thing happened this week. There was a ribbon-cutting ceremony and a grand opening of your offices here in Charleston this week. Yes. Tell us a little bit about that. What does the West Virginia Women's Business Center do?
Oh, the West Virginia Women's Business Center is one of, or actually two, because we have two centers in West Virginia, two out of 140 West Virginia Women's Business Centers across the United States and Puerto Rico. We are funded in part and are an initiative of the Federal Small Business Administration. And we are here to support women and minority-owned small businesses in West Virginia. We cover all 55 counties from our two main offices, and then we have two satellite offices as well.
Okay, and I should mention the other offices are Morgantown, Fairmont, and soon you're going to open one in Huntington.
Yes, we have the keys to Huntington. I just don't have furniture in there yet. So okay. As soon as we get furniture in, we can meet with clients in Huntington.
Well, maybe there's a small business woman out there who runs a furniture store.
Who can help me design some office space. That would be great, but yes.
What kind of services do you provide? I mean, you're here to try to foster startups and entrepreneurship and getting people going in business. What does that entail? What kind of services do you offer?
Yeah, we offer one-to-one business advising or coaching. So we will sit down with you and go through whatever it is that you might need. You need help writing a business plan. You need help even determining which idea you should move forward with or how to move forward with that idea. We get a lot of people who are pre-startup. They're getting ready to start their business and they need some guidance. So we can do one-to-one advising. We do a lot of training, workshops, and seminars on very common topics. Understanding QuickBooks, how to use social media to effectively market your business, how to do business with the federal government, how to get some of those specialty certifications. We do it all on our training workshops and have lots of partners. The service that we're most excited about that we've just rolled out, though, is our statewide mentoring program. We really feel mentoring is very important for women. So the mentoring and networking aspects, in particular, women and some minority groups have not always been tied into some of the sort of halls of power, if you will, and the access. So we're trying to set up a mentoring and networking program to help sort of fill that gap and support women in that way. And of course, we also advise on funding and financing, which is a big part of any startup business, is getting the money to get going.
So let's say if I was a woman and I wanted to open a bakery.
Yeah.
You know, are there other bakery owners around the state you might pair me up with and say, do this. This is a good idea, but don't do that. And kind of help avoid mistakes that other people have learned from.
Absolutely. So you can do that in any number of ways. You can do that through the one-to-one mentoring. But a second feature of the mentoring program is what we're calling peer mentoring groups or peer mentoring circles. And so those can rise up from, women bakery owners of West Virginia could create a support group for each other, no matter where they are, Eastern Panhandle, McDowell County, Wheeling, all coming together and sharing those sort of best practices. So we're excited to roll that out a little bit later in the summer.
And just so I don't get all kinds of critical mail, I don't want to make it sound like women are just only capable of opening a bakery. A woman-owned accounting firm, a woman-owned law firm. There is a public relations firm you use that is primarily women-operated.
Yes, absolutely. They are in every industry. There are women construction business owners. There are women in tech. Actually, the women in tech is fairly concentrated in the north central part of West Virginia, but we have several down here as well. And in fact, West Virginia Tech Connect, up until recently, was headed up by Ann Barth.
One of my best friends. I love Ann.
Ann is wonderful. And so she was pursuing women in technology. So no matter where they are, we can provide support services for them. And again, I do also want to mention that while we are focused on women and minority-owned businesses, We are not discriminatory in any way. We've had plenty of men sign up for our training workshops in particular. If you see a topic that you're interested, if we're offering something that you find of benefit, you absolutely should come on down and we'll help you. You know, just because we're focusing on women doesn't mean that we will not help men.
I used to do a show or a segment called On the Job with Mark Curtis, where I'd go out like Mike Rowe in Dirty Jobs and I would do a job. I went out and became a crane operator one day. The unions sent me up to Mineral Wells and I was a crane operator and was amazed at the number of women that were in the program. Yeah. So the trades and unions,
it's good money, pensions,
health care.
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of opportunity for women in the state. Sure. This is a fascinating discussion. We're gonna take a break and we'll be back with more with Nora Myers from the West Virginia Women's Business Center. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And welcome back to our final segment this week on Inside West Virginia Politics. We are with Nora Myers. She's the executive director of the West Virginia Women's Business Center. This is just a fascinating discussion. We had the ribbon cutting this week.
Yes.
But actually, you've been up and operating in 18 months in the state. So tell us some success stories or great stories of somebody just rising from the ashes and creating a business that they probably didn't think they could do.
Let me give you some stats on that 18 months, and then I'll give you a success story. We have hosted 2,234 people in our workshops in that 18 months of time, and we have advised when one-to-one advising 191 individual clients. So despite the pandemic and despite us having to do a lot of our work virtually because of that pandemic, we have been able to still have a lot of impact in the community. There are several success stories around. Some of the women that we've worked with have been in business, but were facing either a growth opportunity, some sort of change due to COVID. I would have to say off the top of my head, we love Knapp's Creek Trout Lodge, which is over in the Mountain Town region of West Virginia. I want to say Pocahontas County, could be wrong about the county, but they run a wonderful lodge. We have Braids and Twists here in Charleston. She's been in business since 2017, but she's had a recent spurt of growth in a new location, and she's doing great. We've got Kinship Goods, which is a Charleston favorite.
One of my favorite shops in town.
Yeah, Kinship Goods has been doing great. And there are actually a lot of women-owned businesses that we would like to reach out to see if there's anything we can do to help them grow. But as far as recipients coming to us, we've been pretty busy just fielding the calls. So
you mentioned the pandemic. Have you seen a change? I mean, you hear a lot of people saying, I want to keep working from home and working remotely, or I want to be an entrepreneur and do a startup because I want to be self-employed because of the pandemic. And anecdotal. It's happening.
It's totally happening. I'd say that what we saw initially in that first year or so of the pandemic was a lot of people just scrambling. Small businesses everywhere trying to figure out, how do I keep, can I keep my doors open? If my doors are open, how do I need to change the way I'm doing business? What are my protocols for both my clients and or my customers and my employees? Like, how am I going to handle things? Now that we've been sort of in year two, and I want to say that we're hoping we're going to be coming out of it, but I'm going to knock on acrylic here and hope that we're over. We are seeing people say, well, you know, there have been some fundamental changes in the way we do business and the way that our customers expect us to be available or to do business. So we're seeing some businesses try to navigate that a little bit, but we are seeing a lot of women in particular who left the 9-to-5 workforce for a lot of reasons, a lot of, home care reasons, child schooling reasons, who aren't going to go back. They're going to do something from their homes. They're going to do that side business, that hustle. They're going to start something on their own. And that seems to be nationally a trend that's affecting women a little bit more. So more uptick in women-owned small businesses.
I want to mention your website because this is going to generate a lot of traffic. WVWomen.org.
Yes.
You can find all the nuts and bolts and information about the Women's Business Center on there. And so there were two states left in the country that did not have a women's center.
Yes.
They were West Virginia and Alaska,
and
we got one 18 months ago, and now we're going to have several of them.
Yes, absolutely. So we landed the two centers here in West Virginia about 18 months ago, thanks to Partner Community Capital, who agreed to host the Women's Business Center here in West Virginia. And then about 2 months ago, Alaska landed one, and we were thrilled for Alaska because that means all 50 states plus the territory of Puerto Rico have women's business centers. And I was really thrilled to be instrumental in bringing that service to West Virginia, because I feel like if everybody else has one, we should have one too. So
we should, and we do. And WVWomen.org is the website. We're down to about a minute.
Okay.
Does it cost anything to get this help?
No.
And is there funding available? If I want to do a startup, do you help people find
yes.
funding and the resources, the capital to do it?
Yes. All of the services that we provide are free of charge. And I encourage you, if you have any questions about any of the services, to reach out to us. As far as helping businesses find that startup funding, the one thing that I will say is that grants, government grants or grants to startup businesses, are kind of a myth. So we get a lot of calls about that. They don't really exist in terms of grants, but there are a lot of other financing and funding sources to get them up and running, and we can help you navigate what those are and get ready to apply for those.
This is just fascinating. This is seen statewide, all 55 counties on 6 or 7 TV stations. You're going to get a lot of calls for help, and this
Wonderful.
Is great. And we'd like to invite you to come back sometime and just give us a progress report in 6 months or so. We want to thank Nora Meyer. She's the executive director of the West Virginia Women's Business Center, centered here in Charleston with offices in Fairmont, Morgantown, and soon to be Huntington. I'm learning a lot from you.
Yep.
Good stuff. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
And thank
Appreciate
you for watching Inside West Virginia Politics. We'll see you back here next week. Don't forget, we are a podcast, so download us from your favorite podcast vendor. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Inside West Virginia Politics. You can hear more from state, local, and federal lawmakers each and every Sunday morning on WOWK-TV in Charleston, WBOY-TV in Clarksburg, WDVM in the Eastern Panhandle, WTRF in Wheeling, and WVNS in Beckley. You can also find a new episode of the Inside West Virginia Politics podcast right here on this feed every Monday morning. If you like the show, make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Inside West Virginia Politics is a Nexstar Media Group production, hosted and managed by Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is recorded and edited inside the studios of WOWK-TV in Charleston, West Virginia. All rights reserved.